The Marrow's Telling, Words in Motion, by Eli Clare, published by Homopractice Press, read by Eli Clare, copyright 2007. Part 7, which includes, And Yet, How to Talk to a New Lover About Cerebral Palsy, Photographs, Fathom Rock, The Terrorist God, Escape, and Interlude 6, Watch. And yet, I lay out syringe, alcohol pad, vial, a ritual connecting me to junkies, draw out the testosterone, and push needle deep through skin into metal. And yet, I would have chosen hermit, storm high river, heron, flying upstream. Open the windows, for Scythia spills its dense yellow. North on Baldwin Road, I walk my everyday walk. Bottom of the hill, a dog barks, boy yells, Hey mister, hey mister, hey mister. We've traded names a dozen times. Then, hey retard, retard, retard. Schoolyard to street corner, words slung by the pocketful. Crip skin marked, white skin not. Open the doors, daffodils rear their bright heads. Cypionate suspended in cottonseed oil, a shapeshifter's drug, the color of pale sunlight. Voice cracked, stubble glints. Open the cellar. Soon, soon, the maples will unfurl their green fists. And yet, girl arrived first, bones set to the current. In the mirror, I wait. The difference, a simple ritual, verb, skin, muscle, hormone. Body begins. Split the stone open, then the lilac, deep purple. In another time, at another place, might have relied upon insistent dreams, gods, goddesses, spirits all, an herbalist stepping out back nettle or ginseng. Jaw squares, hips and ass slim. And yet, had I been given a choice, they would have demanded clay or granite, solid water or fresh, as if the confluence could never be home. Open, palms stretched wide, apple orchard still bare-boned. But today, I have Pfizer, Upjohn, Watson, doctors saying yes, saying no, judging the various stretch of skin over bone. Crip skin, white skin, which stories do I tell the best, and which rarely begin, turn, flutter, settle. Open to the peepers, coyotes, faint crescent moon. This drug I shoot in careful fractions. I step into its exam rooms, pay its bills, increase its profits. Packed bulk, skin roughens, body begins to settle. Let them draw my blood, check liver, kidney, cholesterol, hemocrit, track the numbers, write the script. Open, orchard, soon to be enveloped in blossom. Round the next bend, other boys want my name, hand me theirs, ask as only 5-year-olds can. Why don't you talk? so good. I shrug, keep moving. And yet, here at the confluence, river and ocean collide, current rushing headlong, waves pushing back, stones tumble, logs roll. Tell me, where in this hiss and froth might I lay myself down? Written 2004 to 2006, about starting testosterone 2004. How to talk to a new lover about cerebral palsy. Tell her, complete strangers have patted my head, kissed my cheek, called me courageous. Tell this story more than once. Ask her to hold you, rock you against her body, breast to back, her arms curving round, only you flinch unchosen, right arm trembles. Don't use the word spastic. In Europe, after centuries of death by exposure and drowning, they banished us to the streets. Let her feel the tension burn down your arms. Tremors jump. Take it slow. When she asks about the difference between CP and MS, refrain from handing her an encyclopedia. If you leave, know that you will ache. Resist the urge to ignore your body. Tell her. They taunted me, retard, monkey, defect. The words sank into my body. The rocks and fists left bruises. Gimps and crips, caps in hand, we still wander the streets, but now the options abound. Telethons, nursing homes, welfare lines. Try not to be ashamed as you flinch and tremble under her warm hands. Think of the stories you haven't told yet. Tension locked behind your shoulder blades. Ask her what she thinks as her hands shake along her body, sleep curled against her, and remember to listen. She might surprise you. Written 1992, about everyday encounters. Photographs. 1. Fingers flayed and reaching, odd angle of wrist and grin, facing pages, two women, one plays in the tide, face tilted to sun. I follow her legs down to the feet she doesn't have. Retreating surf leaves sand soft and loose against her stumps. The other rolls her head away from the camera, long corridor in the background. She holds hands with someone beyond the frame walls, the color of lichen. 2. Body against body, we tumble, roll, rise, arrive again, tongue to tooth, hand balancing, small of back. Sweet, sweet skin, shining sweat, we think, coil and release, but soon it will be a thoughtless ribbon, breath to muscle, to ragged breath. 3. You gain your entrance, call the photos inner grace, nursing homes and psych wards, tell me, did that woman in the corridor invite your camera? You unfold your tripod, frame your pictures, press the shutter. Every day, someone gawks, whispers, turns away. and when you leave, doors will lock behind you. The woman laughing in the surf, she was out on the day past. 4. Bodies tumble, roll, rise, crazy, clumsy, arriving again, body against body, awkward, ugly, each inviting the next, tongue to tooth, sweet, sweet skin, twisted, deformed, a thoughtless rhythm, freak, monster, breath to muscle, to ragged breath, grace lives, tangled and strong. Written 1992 and 2007, about looking at photographs by Abraham Menashe, 1992. Battle Rock. Note, some of the stanzas in this poem are excerpts from a personal letter of Captain J.M. Kirkpatrick, one of the white explorers who quote-unquote founded Portoford, Oregon. 1. Kirkpatrick. We were landed at Portoford on the morning of the 9th of June, 1851. Driftwood lined the cliffs, bone white and rough, a jungle gem of love. Remember when surf at low tide could knock you over. June 1851, 9 white men drew the port on their maps, summer wind bellowing. Kirkpatrick, we found the Indians who made their appearance when we first landed to be somewhat friendly, manifesting a disposition to trade with us. And still, Main Street whistles, creak, fishermen tie their boats tight. Remember when they swung long whips of bull kelp overhead, round and round? Kirkpatrick, this did not last longer than the steamer lay at bay. As soon as she left, the Indians grew saucy and ordered us off. Gull circle all day, beggars and outlaws waiting for the fishing boats to return. June 1851, the Kwatami gathered their weapons, smallpox and alcohol already littered the beaches. Kirkpatrick, we took possession of a small island or rock. We had a 4-pounder cannon which we brought from the steamer. This we planted in front of our encampment. Remember when you chased waves barefoot down to Hubbard's Creek? High tide drums the rocks, then recedes. Kirkpatrick, in the morning, the Indians began to gather on the beach in considerable numbers. I noticed that they were better armed than when we first landed. Green, purple, orange, starfish hold to crevices. 2. 4th of July in Portoford. The mounted posse leads the parade, playground smelling of charcoal, beer, barbecued salmon. I wander the swarming town, ragged and whitewashed, wait through dinghy boat races, sandcastle contests, quilt raffle, horse games, flags flap on every street corner. Before dusk, we settle on the bluffs, air full of smoke bombs. White boys dressed as Indians leap around a bonfire. I want to scuffle in the surf with them, half naked, face and chest painted red, blue, yellow. Down the beach, white men dressed themselves, climb battle rock, drag a cannon behind them, rifles loaded. They fire blanks, wait for the boys to come scrambling up the path. I weed on money for one last cotton candy, whistle and clap. Know that Mr. Peterson, born-again preacher, newspaper editor, or declare victory, lead a cheer. And then it's dark, fireworks spread across the sky, bursts of colored whirl against stars, sound of horns, surf, sizzle of rockets lifting off. I am convinced each burst will land in my lap. Later, I follow my parents home, half asleep, confused by cars, headlights, streams of people. 3. Savages, rogues, natives, redskins, what did you call yourselves before those 9 white men arrived, sick with gold rush fever? You built cedar houses half underground, traded beads, shells, acorns, measured your plenty in gift-giving, bring grass as an offering to the salmon. This is a half-vision. Kirkpatrick. They then made a rush to pitch into camp among us, the chief leading the way. The great crowd of them were within 6 feet of the mouth of the cannon. We climbed that rock again and again, parents warning against poison oak. Guns, felling axes, negotiated lies. You fought desperate battles, learned the art of ambush and blood. Kirkpatrick, I jerked up a firebrand and discharged the cannon among them, killing some 6 or 8 dead. The fight lasted about 15 minutes when the Indians broke and ran. Did you burn your dead? Let the tide carry their ashes away like so many pieces of shell. You joined the Telkomas and Lagalas, waged a war that lasted many months. Kirkpatrick, they fled to the hills and rocks and continued to shoot their arrows at us for some time. There were a great many of them wounded. Now a photograph, black and white silhouette, rock against ocean. They rounded you up along forced migration, north and east, over the mountains, another better trail. Kirkpatrick, during the afternoon, the chief came up the beach, made signs that he wanted to come into camp. He threw his arms down on the sand. The reservation at the end, you made your lives again, metal of sagebrush country. Kirkpatrick, and made signs he wanted to take away the dead. This we let him do. No ocean, no salmon, no rain, no huckleberries, salal, Sitka spruce. And every year we dress ourselves in mockery. Written 1991, about the Battle of Battle Rock, 1851, and 4th of July celebrations, 1970s. The Terrorist God. The one dressed in blue eyes, white skin, who lives not in tree roots, fingertips, horsetails, he who swears against sex, God of whispering, Jew-killing, consort of smallpox. Let me talk to him, not his Pope, not his Jesus, not his pedophiles, the big man, the mean man, the sadist in the sky. Let me bring him down. Take a walk, sea to shining sea, crack house to uranium killing. Watch a sunset, a moonrise, visit a psych ward. Lean him quiet to the torture chambers. Arrange meetings with Leonard Peltier, Angela Davis, Cesar Chavez, Harriet Tubman, Barbara Deming, Joseph Beam, Audre Lorde, Wilma Mankiller, Emma Goldman. Leave the prisons ringing dead and alive. There will be no confession, no blood and body, no penance, only this pocket full of dirt, salt water and fresh stones and stars. Written 1995, about Christian missionaries arriving in North America, 1500s. Escape. Note, this piece is about ritual abuse. Father of mine, I have a myth I tell myself. Not memory, not fiction, just clues tied one to the next as I walk the North Shore, sit among skeletal birch, watch gulls nestle between waves. You landed in Duluth at 21, first teaching job, first time away. Your father, the gravedigger, your mother, who tried to leave once and failed, your brother, the bully, that dirt farm you called home. There could not be enough miles. You drove them wildly, carefully, deliriously numb. A myth grasping at hope, love, the ways an imagined escape might turn real. You came here to the North Shore, fleeing ritual abuse. You must not have remembered any of it, body split from body. But as surely as I grew up with scar and aftershock, so did you before me. The gravedigger placed electrodes on your soft skin to pull you to the fire to watch cats burn down to their bones. Memory becomes a gift, a trial, an open door. In Duluth, you started to drink cheap red wine, maybe whiskey or scotch on bad nights. Every morning before school, you walked the lake 5, 6, 7 miles, long, flat horizon reassuring you. If only this myth had been true. Every afternoon, you went to mass, but the blood and body offered by those men in black robes and white collars were not the real thing, and you hungered. You spent many a night barely containing the frenzy in your body, wanting with every cell to return to the gravedigger, wait your turn for the blood, knives, children spread wide. In this myth, you are just a man trying to escape. I know well how the nighttime terrors arrive, whirlwind, avalanche, riptide. After Duluth, you joined the army, married my mother, moved to Pittsburgh, earned a master's degree. But at some moment, you started going back. I know this because you took me to visit the gravedigger every summer, because you found a man just like him in your new home halfway across the country from the dirt farm. I, too, drove those miles, numb delirious, careful. Sky and lake, surly gray, imagination becomes a room, walls painted white, broad oak floor, a duck inside to stand at the window, wind rising, I turn to the things I can touch, palm to bark, palm to water, palm to mud, your escape waited one generation for me. Written 1996 and 2007, about dealing with ritual abuse, 1992 to 2002. Interlude 6, Watch. Tell it, talk it, translated across divides of power. But let's not forget our own communities, passing transsexual folks who don't want to be seen with genderqueer folks, and genderqueers who scorn the choice to transition. Paraplegics who pity quadriplegics, and quads who use the words retard and crazy and derision. Poor people who hate working class people, and working class people who insist poor people are lazy moochers. People who use the same words to name their deepest selves and assume commonality only to find themselves caught in disagreement. Every time I watch tension flare along one of these fault lines, I want to say, tell a story, not one, but two. Let them both repeat and contradict each other. Speak even as you don't know what will be heard. Listen even if you don't understand all the words. Create the space to tell it. I used to walk down to the hayfields and sheep pastures, soaking sun, sky, cloud, whir of grasshopper into me even before I stood leaning against the wind to launch my kite into its tug, soar, dance. The space to be heard and recognized, the space to make it bigger than any single story. The marrow is a shadow tree, a tangle, a confluence. Written 2005 to 2007. This ends part 7, continued in part 8.